Today on Locked On Red Wings, we continue our player predictions for this upcoming season with Moritz Seider, Ben Chiarot, and Ville Husso.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I am a producer for WWJ News Radio, while Scotty is the host of Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. And we're going to continue doing our player predictions today, leading off with Moritz Seider, following it up with Ben Chiarot, and finishing off with Ville Husso. But before we get to that, I do got to say, thanks for making us your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Google Cast, the Odyssey app. Got to plug the Odyssey app because that is the company that I work full time for. So go listen to us on there. And then, of course, leave us a review. You can leave us a written review and a star rating on Apple and on Spotify. You can just give us a star rating. If you want to do that, that'd be appreciated as well, unless it's bad, in which case don't do it. But yeah, Scotty, we're going to continue our player predictions today, and we're going to lead off with reigning Calder Trophy winner, Moritz Seider. And Moritz Seider, as everyone knows, I just, you know, prefaced it, he just won the Calder. He had a fantastic season. He had 50 points this past season, 7 goals, and 43 assists. Just a fantastic season from this rookie. Played everywhere. Immediately got top line minutes, or top pair minutes, was the number one bona fide defenseman right off the bat. Played power play minutes, played shorthanded minutes, played with no partner the entire season. And yet he still won the Calder on a team that had the worst goals against per 60 in the entire league. He won the Calder for best rookie of the year on the worst defensive team in hockey. That speaks a lot about the type of season that he had. And we've spoken on end about the type of season he had. But looking ahead to next year, Scotty, best case and worst case scenario, what can we expect out of this player going into his, what, age 21 season?
Age 21 season, yes, sir. The I think my expectation is that by the end of the season, we are all just still of the mindset that Moritz Seider, like production, whatever, that we are of the expectation that Mo is still the like number one top end borderline elite level defenseman, well, soon to be, will grow into an elite level defenseman that we can build this entire defensive core around. That is my expectation. My expectation is him just maintaining that belief throughout the fan base. After game 82, we all go, yep, that makes sense. He took another step forward. He continues to improve. He continues to get better. This dude is still going to be an elite defender in the NHL. My best case scenario would be him turning into that this year already and not just like, oh, I took another step towards that. The best case scenario would be him just becoming that, taking such a big step forward that he was getting, like he would be getting like Norris votes. You know what I mean? Like that would be best case scenario. If he was placed in the Norris finalist trophy and again, that's not my expectations. I'm not trying to give lofty expectations. My expectation is just maintaining the belief in him taking a step forward. But best case scenario, I think is that. I think best case scenario is him being so good that in his age 21 season, he's already getting looked at for the Norris.
Yeah, see, the thing with him too is I talked about it with Lucas Raymond. The sophomore slump is something that hangs over the head of every player who is a fantastic rookie going into their second year. Mm-hmm. Even more so than Lucas Raymond, I have faith that Moritz Seider will not be affected by the sophomore slump, even if, let's say, his 50-point production takes a hit, which, by the way, your rookie defenseman being over half point per game, and he's being also one of three players to be to play all 82 games is fantastic. But even if his production takes a hit and he slides back into the 40s, just this defensive core as a whole being better on paper, his defense is going to take a step forward. I don't think there's going to be a sophomore slump for Moritz Seider. I think I am in agreement with you, Scotty, that realistic expectation is he just further refines his game and further becomes a menace. He had, 50 points this season? He's a great two-way defenseman. There's more to his game than what we saw on the offensive side of things. In fact, coming into this past season, Scotty, we talked about how, you know, his defensive game is really where he shined, and then he proved us wrong in that his offensive game was even better than his defensive game. So if he comes into the season and the defensive side of things gets refined because the team as a whole is better and he gets better and he keeps that offensive production, Scotty, I don't want to go too far out there, but I argue that maybe best case scenario, he not just gets Norris Trophy votes, but I think he could be a finalist for the Norris Trophy. I think best case scenario, a guy who at 20 years old played 82 games, most minutes on the team, won the Calder with 50 points on the team with the worst goals against per 60. If he can go out there on a better team and further refine his game in his age 21 season, I think, and I don't know, do you think I'm crazy for thinking this? Moritz Seider could be a Norris finalist this season coming up.
No, and I think when you're talking about, again, that's why I like best and worst case scenarios much more than just, you know, like one liner predictions, because I think that probably is. And when I say, you know, receiving Norris votes, I didn't mean, you know, he'd get like down ballot votes and finish like 16th. That's what I was more so implying. Maybe not finalist, maybe not like top three finish, but I was implying that my best case scenario would be him getting that like borderline top five, maybe just outside the top five finish for Norris already. So I don't think we're too far off. I do think that's probably his best case scenario. I am fascinated to hear what you would think his worst case scenario would be, because I think his worst case scenario, for me, I don't think his worst case scenario would be like too terrible still, but it's just we expect so much that in comparison to what we expect him to do, I guess it would still be worst case.
I think his worst case scenario, you know, I don't think his defense gets any worse. I think his defense is he's a two-way defenseman. Both sides of his game are his bread and butter. I don't think his defense gets worse. And by no means was it bad. It was good. It was very good. I think he stays the same defensively. And if anything, he takes a step back offensively. But that won't make him not a number one defenseman. I realistically, and maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I realistically don't think that even in a worst case scenario, he is not a top pairing defenseman on this team. I think that what we saw in 82 games last year is not an anomaly out of this player, because it's not just the 82 games he spent in the NHL. He dominated at every level. He dominated at the AHL level with the Griffins. He dominated at the SHL level in Sweden. He dominated in the DEL in Germany. Now he spent 1 year in the NHL as a 20-year-old, dominated and won the Calder by a landslide. So I don't think that his worst case scenario is all that bad. I think worst case scenario is production slides a bit, but he's still very effective on the both blue lines.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. My worst case scenario for Moritz Seider is him just replicating his rookie year.
Oh no, not that.
Seriously. that's how much I believe in the direction he's heading in and how good I think he is. If he went out there and put up, he had exactly 50 points. If he went out there and still was really solid defensively and put up 45 to 50 points again, that in my eyes would be quote unquote worst case scenario. And that's not that bad at all.
I mean, he combines the best attributes of offensive and defensive defensemen, and that's so hard to come by at the NHL level. Yeah. It's just, I mean, we talk and, you know, butter up Moritz Seider all the time, but he absolutely deserves it. This was Steve Yzerman's. Now I'm trying to digress into a broader topic, but I just cannot imagine a universe where he is marginally worse than how he was this year. He was fantastic this year, and it didn't seem like a fluke. This is very on brand for everything we've seen from Moritz Seider every step of the way. And I just not even just hope he gets better. I just expect him to improve again.
Yeah. No, again, I think the floor for him is what he did last season. And the fact that we can say that about a defenseman that just put up 50 points in his rookie year is pretty remarkable. But
he outproduced middle six forwards.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And 50 points.
He had a 40 assist season. Yeah.
That's nutty. And then, of course, his goals were clutch, too. He had multiple overtime goals. His first career goal was an overtime winner against the Buffalo Sabres. So he's got a clutch factor.
Are you not entertained picture? Yeah. So crazy.
He's got a clutch factor to him as well. There, we could go on and on about Moritz Seider, but I think we're in agreement that, you know, his best-case scenario is the peak of the mountain. His best-case scenario is winning the Norris Trophy or being a finalist for the Norris Trophy. His worst-case scenario is being this maybe slightly less productive of what we just saw. I don't think he's going to, at the end of this next season, we're going to be thinking, you know, bottom pair defenseman, second pair defenseman. That's just, I don't think that's in the cards.
I don't think any, assuming health, I don't think any scenario with him this upcoming season can possibly cause the fan base's expectations to change about, you know, what heights he can reach.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to talk about his presumed defensive partner, Ben Chiarot. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about betonline.net. Betonline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to the BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action and happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. Segment 2, Lockdown Red Wings Podcast, Thursday edition. Let's move on now to talking about Ben Chiarot, who is going to be the presumed defensive partner of Moritz Seider. I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, you're paying him basically top pair of money at, what, $4.25 million a year across the next 4 years. And I mean, really, that's the first thing that stands out when talking about Ben Chiarot. So Ben Chiarot last year, he played with the Montreal Canadiens and the Florida Panthers. He had 26 points in that span, 9 goals, and let's see here. Because Evolving Hockey does this weird. Let me check over here because I don't feel like doing math because I'm lazy. He's a hockey player. I'm talking my way through it. He had, 17 assists. So there we go. There's the math. I just did not feel like doing it in my head, so I went over to a different tab. That's really what it was. I'm just like, no.
Really against doing math quickly.
No, I got home from work, guys. I don't feel like doing math. Addition is tough, especially with the way they presented it. Because Evolving Hockey does assist one, assist two, and because he played on different teams, it's like, I have to add 4 different numbers together. I was like, none of that. Nope, not happening. But anyways, Ben Chiarot got paid big this offseason. And we talked a lot about when they signed him that he is a player that general managers tend to have a lot of value. He's a big physical defenseman who stands up for his teammates. And he's in the prime of his career as well. Yeah, so he's 31 years old. He's in the prime of his career. They wanted a guy who could be with a young guy like Moritz Seider. Scotty, I'm not really sure. I feel like this guy is probably one of the few guys who has the biggest range of high and low for this upcoming season in terms of prediction. And I don't really know what is the more probable outcome.
I completely agree. I think that this is one of the more fascinating conversations and one of the first like really fascinating conversations on the players we've done so far and where they could possibly land in best and worst case, because I think that worst case is pretty bad. Like worst case scenario for him is a possibility, and it is ugly. Like for me, worst case scenario for him is by the end of the season, you have people screaming for him to not be on the top line, or that he just straight up isn't on the top line. He's moved down. His production is really brutal. He doesn't do what you brought him in to do, which would be like a physical defenseman. He has zero value on offense. He has next to no value on defense, and nobody's willing to take him because you paid him 4 years and a pretty sizable amount of money over the next 4 years.
4.75 a year.
Right. And you're now, after game 82, you are of the belief that we're just stuck with this dude and he's going to be getting like second or even third pair defensive minutes for the last 3 years of his career. I think that's worst case scenario. Like that's that's rough. And that's something that, like, doomsday scenario that some people have already kind of clamored about and said that they think could be possible. So yeah, I absolutely think that this is a pretty broad range here, because his best case scenario is a really nice fit in this team, I think, and we'll get to that, but his worst case scenario is really detrimental.
No, you're 100% spot on in the fact that, you know, this is the first contract that Steve Yzerman has ever handed out that I thought to myself, that's a risk. That's a gamble. And, you know, we're Red Wings fans, so we're Steve Yzerman slappy. So anytime we even think that about a player, you catch yourself going, am I doubting the Iser plan? But I think it's fair to be critical over anything that any general manager does. And, you know, Ben Chiarot, he doesn't check a lot of boxes and things I like. He does check one major box in that he's very physical and he stands up for his teammates, and I really appreciate that. But the reason why his defensive metrics are so poor is because of that physicality, because he tends to chase hits and get himself out of position and take bad penalties. Offensively, you know, the metrics, specifically expected goals above replacement, show that he should have had a lot more success than he did. He said it shows that he put himself in positions to succeed, and it just didn't work out with both Montreal and Florida. And another thing to consider is that he was, in a lot of times, put in positions where he shouldn't have been. Like, there's a lot of people saying that Ben Chiarot necessarily isn't a top pair defenseman, but he has played his best hockey and gotten the most value out of playing his best hockey when paired with stellar defensemen. And anyone, that's you could say that about anyone. But, right. You know, he played his best hockey with Shea Weber and Dustin Byfuglien. Well, he's going to be playing with Moritz Seider more than likely. So you could see a resurgence of his best stuff. And I do think that if you can rein in the bad penalties and rein in chasing hits, there's a lot of value to be there, and especially with balancing out what Moritz Seider brings. So I think best case scenario, he proves himself to be a good chemist, to have good chemistry with Moritz Seider and stick on that first pair. Worst case scenario, like you said, Scotty, you know, you're paying a guy just to play on the bottom pair. And see, this is the thing where we've talked about this too with Ben Chiarot, in that clearly a lot of general managers around the league highly value this guy. I mean, he got traded for a first round pick by the Florida Panthers, and then the Red Wings signed into this big contract. So there's something there, like the eye test that we don't see, that these professional scouts, these former professional players and general managers are seeing. So maybe we will see that when playing this season. But that's why this guy has such a broad range, because I give faith to what Yzerman is doing. I'm willing to, like, give him the benefit of the doubt. He deserves that after everything he's done with this rebuild. So I'm willing to think, okay, his upside could very well be a top pair defenseman. But, you know, I see what I see, and then I look at what I can look up on the internet with these, you know, goals above replacement, expected goals for percentage, especially with relative to his teammates, and it doesn't look good on him. So I'm trying not to be overly critical of Ben Chiarot, because the poor guy hasn't even played a game yet for the Detroit Red Wings, but I just get a little nervous looking at him, and that's why my range is he's a wild card to me. You know, I guess I will be conservative and say that he'll be closer to a first pair because Steve Yzerman signed him and Steve Yzerman gets that carte blanche. But I don't know, man. This is just an area where I am unsure.
For sure. Yeah, no, me too. And you know, I started with worst case, and I think I agree with your best case as well. And for me, his best case scenario is becoming I don't think anyone's expecting him to be a lockdown or unbelievably productive, you know, player again, and like reaching back into the back. Also, by the way, another Guelph Storm product, but the pipeline, baby. But I think that best case scenario for me is him at the end of the season, and during the season as well, not as much of a hindsight thing, but every single night you go out there and you're not thinking, oh my goodness, why do we have a liability paired with Moritz Seider? And that would be, I guess that's more of expectation, or like what you have in the middle of the road. Best case scenario, I guess, for me would be us going, this is a good pairing. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you're every single night, if you're thinking Ben Chiarot and Moritz Seider, this is a good pairing. They work really well together. They play off each other well. Their styles of play mesh really well. this is a really good pairing, and Sherratt gives us some decent production. I think the and he wears the A, and everybody looks up to him as a like an assistant captain, alternate captain, whatever phrase you want to use. Like, that is best case scenario for me. Like A on his jersey, leader. Everybody agrees that him and Moritz Seider play well together, and he reaches back and gives us some pretty decent production. But worst case is like I said, like we both said, worst case scenario is you're looking at this at the end of the season and going, 3 years can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Well, and I think you mentioned something there that is pertinent to bring up. Something that is important is in that chemistry that they play in. I do see a future in which their play styles mesh well together. They're both big guys. And Ben Sherratt's physicality, he's going to stand up for Moritz Seider, because you know that Seider's going to have a target on his back because of the success he's had. At his age especially, there are going to be veterans in the league that are going to want to put Seider in his place. Seider won't back down. You saw Seider trying to bully Crosby. Succeeding in bullying Crosby this past season. But Ben Sherratt's going to have his back. And I appreciate that. And I think that they're going to build a good chemistry, assuming, again, that they actually play together. But I think it's a safe assumption that they will be. Mm-hmm. And also, I think Ben Sherratt being a more defensive defenseman, a physical defenseman, is going to allow Moritz Seider to be a little bit more creative on the blue line and be more step up in the play a little bit more, because he knows that Ben Sherratt's going to be behind him, defending the line, so to speak. So I think that there is an upside there for Ben Sherratt, but I think a lot of it weighs in on how well he gels with Seider on that top pair. I think that's really where the best case scenario comes into fruition, as in like any player individually. Their best case and worst case scenario is going to come into how well they play with the players on the line. But I think with Sherratt especially, it's going to really depend on how he meshes with Seider.
Absolutely.
When we come back for segment 3, we will talk about new goaltender of the Detroit Red Wings, Ville Husso. Segment 3, Thursday edition of Lockdown Red Wings. Scotty, let's talk about the new goaltender on the block, Ville Husso. They traded for him just before free agency. And he's pretty damn good. He had a good season with the St. Louis Blues, 40 games played. With a save percentage of 919. Now, I do understand and I do realize once the playoffs hit and he got playing time in the playoffs, his production is not the right word, his performance, rather, took a hit. So this will be his age 27 season. And
still, point still remains.
Point remains that he is still going to be a young goaltender by goaltending standards, and he's going to be doing a tandem with Nedeljkovic, who we'll get to in a later episode. But when it comes to best case and worst case scenarios of his performance this year coming up, he's another guy who I think could, for best case scenario, I will say he will produce the same save percentage, because it's going to be a lot harder to produce that save percentage on this Red Wings team, which on paper did get a lot better, but is still, marginally worse than the St. Louis Blues, who make the playoffs pretty much every year and just won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago. Granted, the 2019 team was better than the team that got eliminated this past season from the playoffs. But my point remains that the big criticism against Ville Husso is that he was sheltered on the St. Louis Blues, the same criticism that Nedeljkovic faced. So if Ville Husso can reproduce the same kind of numbers on a team that, let's be honest, is going to be probably lower in the standings than the St. Louis Blues, that isn't a stagnation, in my opinion. That is a step forward for a goaltender like Ville Husso. I think that's where my best case scenario lies with him.
I think best case for me is at the end of the year, if we are, I feel like that's like my best case is just like how I feel at the end of the season, like mid season too, not everything's a hindsight thing, but I think best case is if we got a guy that everybody feels that. Well, I don't want my best case or worst case of him to be hindered on Ned's performances as well, because he's an individual. But I think if we're assuming Ned does well too, best case scenario would be Husso being a guy that you're comfortable sharing a net and having like a perfect 50-50 split. And like if Ned struggles, then he can be a guy that can go 60-40 and get, a little bit more and a guy that you're not afraid to let loose whenever he goes into the net. And if you're looking for He had a 919 last year. Yeah. And this defense is not as good as St. Louis's, even with the additions that we made. I guess we're hoping for a big step forward there, but that would be a lot of our best cases coming true to have this defense take be playoff caliber. But I think for him, I just want a solidified goalie tandem going forward. And I know that's a little bit, again, not so individual and more of a best case.
You
for
can't
both necessarily,
you can't completely separate them.
Right.
They are a pair.
I just want two guys that we are confident in. And I guess best case scenario would be I'll put it this way. Best case scenario, he is half of one of the best goalie tandems in the NHL.
Bingo. That's what I was going to say.
That is best case scenario. He is half of one of the best duos, and that everybody in the league, no matter where you're from and who you root for, looks at the Red Wings goalie tandem and him being half of one of the best duos in the NHL. That would be best case scenario.
When it comes to worst case scenario, I think that you're going to run into a situation where people's fears on him being sheltered in the St. Louis Blues organization. You know what? I will say this, though, before I get into that. Were the Red Wings worse than the St. Louis Blues on the roster this past year? Yes. But considering the fact that St. Louis seems to have this thing for taking Detroit Red Wings former players, that's the best way I can say it, maybe they won't be as good as I think they will be this upcoming season, because they seem to be falling in love with Nick Leddy. I mean, they take all our guys, apparently, and I don't necessarily get it. So maybe they won't be as good this year coming up. But this past year, for sure, he played on a much better team and was a little bit more sheltered than he would be on the Detroit Red Wings, and still probably this Red Wings year coming up. And so when it comes to worst-case scenario, I think you run into a situation where what you get is more like what we saw out of him in the playoffs, in 3.67 goals against average and an 890 save percentage, which is very close to his 17 games played in the 2020-2021 season, where he had a 3.21 goals against average and 893. So he does have one very successful regular season behind him, but he has a postseason and another season of just being a subpar backup goaltender. And I think that's the worst case scenario, is that the criticism that he was sheltered is true, and then he slides back into this role of being a backup goaltender at best. But again, Steve Yzerman wouldn't give him this kind of money if he didn't genuinely think Husso could be part of a dangerous tandem. And so it's, again, it comes into the situation where I try to separate my biases out of these speculations, but Steve Yzerman just, he has yet to burn us. And until he does so, I'm going to continue to give Steve Yzerman the benefit of the doubt when he makes these contracts. And by no means am I scrutinizing this contract the same way I'm scrutinizing Sherratt. And I'm not even I probably came off as overly harsh on the Sherratt thing last segment, but there's this benefit of the doubt that Steve Yzerman has earned with these signings. And if Steve Yzerman thinks that Husso deserves this money, then I have faith that Husso is going to be closer to his best case scenario than he will the worst case scenario. The same thing I said for Sherratt.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm right there with you. I think worst case is there's just no faith that he's part of the tandem going forward, period. I think a worst case scenario is we look around, halfway through the season or whatever, and Ned is doing well or whatever Ned's doing. We just say, okay, he should probably be just like one again. You know what I mean? I think that's that. Like we brought this dude in to be a duo and be a really high end duo in between the pipes there. So I think worst case scenario would be him struggling enough and lacking enough production to where the fan base and the front office and the team just goes, you know what, it should probably just be Ned's net again. And yeah, at the end of the season, we're looking around going, okay, we need still a 1B goalie for the future.
I like it. I agree. Scotty, do you have any final thoughts, man?
RIP Vince Scully.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm just...
Go.
Bittersweet thing is at least the Dodgers won another championship before he passed away.
Yes,
that is a very bittersweet part of it. You know, silver lining. He is...
Very much so, yeah.
One of, if not the best play-by-play broadcasters who have ever lived. He is.
Yeah, my GOAT is forever Ernie Harwell, and Ernie Harwell said Vin Scully was the greatest of all time. So
there you go. Something to be said there. We'll be back with an episode tomorrow because our schedule got out of whack this week. And we warned you guys this could happen. There's a lot of flexibility with three episodes a week.
You're going to get three between Monday and Friday. It's just that it might not always be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Exactly. That's all.
So, yeah, we'll be back with a new episode then on Friday. And it's probably going to do what? Second line forward group, whatever that may be.
Yeah, I think second line forwards next. Yeah.
Well, we'll figure out which three that it's going to be.
Bet online.
Bet online. thanks for making Locked On Red Wings your first listen every single day. Now make your second listen Locked On NHL. Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world. Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. Be back with you guys tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's your team 3 days a week.
Every day. Well.